Hello and welcome to the first of hopefully many Athletics for Life podcasts. My name is Mike. I'm the creator of Athletics for Life. And welcome to the first ever one. So today what we're going to be talking about is we're going to look into my story, why I'm here. And then we'll look into the Athletics for Life website and what to expect from this podcast. So let's start with my story. It gives you some background as to why I'm here and how I got involved with all of this. So I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis back in 2011. For those of you who don't know what ulcerative colitis is, it's an autoimmune disease. It attacks your large intestine and your colon. So what it does is your immune system, for whatever reason, decides that your organs are the enemy and starts attacking them. So in ulcerative colitis, what happens is they chew little holes into your large intestine and your colon. This is painful, or at least it can be. Not everyone presents with the same symptoms, which makes it problematic. A whole host of symptoms, anywhere from bleeding to abdominal pain, and you know the urgency to use the bathroom, which is a big one because you don't always have to go, but this can happen up to 20 times a day, so it's really life-altering. So I was given that diagnosis in 2011. At the time, I was 21 years old. Up until that point, my life was pretty regular. I focused a lot on school, a lot on athletics. I loved sports. I was always playing something. But around the time that I went to university, I went to Ryerson University for engineering. Sports kind of fell to the side. I played here and there. I played intramural ball hockey at school, but nothing serious. It's at that age where you can't play house league sports anymore. You have to go to the adult leagues, and to be honest, I'm a little guy as it is, so I was a little intimidated, so I just stopped playing. So cue the freshman 15. Yeah, the 15 pounds, except for me, it was more on the lines of 30, and I can still remember one day looking in the mirror and being like, whoa, where did this come from? I'm not a muscular guy, so it wasn't muscle I was putting on. It was all fat. And so around that time, my parents were going through a divorce. And my dad, with his extra energy, decided to look into kickboxing. Now, I was kind of into martial arts at the time. I was watching the UFC, but nothing serious. So when he asked me if I wanted to try kickboxing, thought, you know what, that's awesome, I'll give it a go. I got really involved with kickboxing, and after about a year and a half of that, I ended up looking for something closer to home. The kickboxing I was going to was in Toronto, so I found a jiu-jitsu club close by and started training in jiu-jitsu. I trained in jiu-jitsu for, I think it was 5 years by the end of it, but so the important part of the story is roughly 2 to 3 years in. About that point, I decided I want to start competing. Now, with jiu-jitsu, weight cutting is a huge thing when it comes to competitions. What I mean by weight cutting is you try to lose as much weight as you can for the weigh-ins, depending on the competition. And then if the competition's the next day, you try and put it on as much weight as you can overnight, so you're bigger than your opponents. A lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments do same-day weigh-ins, so you're strictly trying to lose just as much fat off your body as you can without affecting a performance. But some do the next day competitions. In my opinion, weight cutting is super dangerous. I don't advise anyone try it unless you're under the supervision of a medical professional, which most of them will probably say don't do it anyway. But if you're really into competing, I mean, I did it. I understand. But anyway, back to our story. So I started weight cutting. Really cut down on what I was eating. I was basically counting everything I put in my mouth, and by the time competition was just around the corner, I still wasn't at the weight I needed to be at. Keep in mind, at this point, I had lost all the weight I had gained. I'm pretty sure I lost even more than that. I still needed to lose some pounds. So a friend of mine suggested that I use these teas that he's used before. And so I thought, you know what, okay, I will. And so he gave me these laxative teas that were supposed to drop me like another 5 pounds and put me under for my weight category. So I did these teas, but I started to notice that the symptoms of the teas, I should say, the effects, they didn't really stop right away. I thought this was kind of curious, but after a while they did. Didn't really think of it. Went and fought the fight. I started to notice a few other ulcerative colitis symptoms that, you know, I didn't know of at the time, but were definitely red flags. Again, didn't say anything. Went to fight. Lost the fight by a single point, which was disappointing because I had trained so hard, but, you know, losses happen. Continued fighting, continued competing, and I went to provincial tournaments, and I was training really hard, but a week before the tournament, I had just gotten over sickness. I ended up getting the flu and strep throat over the time that I was training for the tournament, and the doctor put me on some pretty heavy antibiotics, which I later learned could have contributed to my diagnosis. Went to that tournament, and I lost to the second place guy in the end. And that one was a hard one, because he submitted me in something like 30 seconds. So all that hard work for 30 seconds, that sucks. But again, you move on, you train harder. And it was at this point that I started to notice that some of the symptoms that I'd had before weren't going away. My symptoms, and they're gross, they're a little embarrassing, so bear with me, but started to notice blood in the toilet bowl when I'd go to the bathroom, a lot of abdominal pain, a lot of discomfort. Those were really the two benchmarks that drove me to my doctor. That was it. So I went to my family doctor, and he did a couple tests, you know, pressed on my abdomen and decided that this might be a serious thing. He sent me to a specialist. I went to that specialist, and to my surprise, he did a test. He basically did a mini version of a colonoscopy, and for this, you're awake, so it really wasn't comfortable, and it was really awkward, for lack of a better term. But he did that. He also took biopsies, and by the end of the appointment, he kind of gave me an insight on what he was thinking. And, you know, that dreadful cancer word had come up, and it honestly scared the shit out of me, pardon the pun. But he said he was also going to send me to another specialist because it was a little bit over his head. So I appreciated that he was going to send me to someone who he had confidence in knowing could diagnose me. So a little bit of time went by, and I got a scheduled colonoscopy. For this one, I was actually put to sleep, which was a comfort. But had that done. And then afterwards, when I was waking up from the anesthetic, doctor came up to my bedside. He gave me a prescription and he said, "You have ulcerative colitis." But let's be honest, for anyone who's ever had a surgery, you know, when you wake up from it, you're not all there. So I heard ulcerative colitis, I heard prescription, and that's about it. I knew I had to book a follow-up appointment, but I ended up, you know, going, getting my prescription, and I didn't really think much about what I had. Just as long as the medication made it go away, I was happy. So let's fast forward a couple months. I went to my follow-up appointments. I kept seeing my doctor. The symptoms went away, and I was starting to feel healthy. At this point in my life, I'd ended up dropping out of engineering. I realized it wasn't for me, and I had gotten accepted to UOIT, located here in Oshawa, for kinesiology. And I couldn't be more happy. My disease was going away, I got into a program that I wanted to go into, and everything was looking up. Unfortunately for me, about a year into my program, I was doing great, which isn't unfortunate, but what was unfortunate was I started to decide that these pills that I'd been taking, I didn't need them anymore. I wasn't sick anymore, even though my doctor kept telling me to take my medication. I didn't think I needed it. So I just stopped, plain and simple. I thought I knew better, so I stopped. Looking back, that was probably the worst thing I could ever do, because 2 to 3 months later, it was full swing disease. Remember I said that this was at the end of my first year? Well, we're going into the summer now. I had 2 jobs lined up. I'm thinking, okay, I just aced my first year. I got 2 jobs. I'm going to make tons of money, and this is going to set me up for the rest of my university career, and we're good to go. And then my disease hit me like a brick. All my symptoms I had before came back, but they were 10 times worse. And I lost 15 pounds in a week, and it was terrible. I ended up having to quit those two jobs. It got to the point where I was thinking, I didn't know how I was going to go back to school. But I mean, I'd already dropped out of engineering, so I couldn't quit. I'd at least try another year. So I ended up fighting through second year. It was really painful. It was also really awkward. I was that guy that went to class, I mean, at least some of the times when I had to go. And as soon as the teacher said the lecture was done, I was out of there. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't even want to talk to my friends. My girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, she noticed a change in me. And it was starting to get really bad. And it was probably at the end of second year that I started to realize that, you know, this disease might be the end of me. You know, I might be that guy that is a stay-at-home dad in the future and didn't finish his university, and I was staying at home a lot. I was living in my mom's basement, so I was staying in the basement playing video games on nice sunny days. It was getting pretty dark. My anxiety was an all-time high, and just after a summer of not going outside, my fiance now, but my fiance and also my mother, they both came and said, "Hey, well, I think you need to see someone because, you know, you're not your usual self." And I ignored it. We normally do. You know, I got nothing wrong with me. I'm not depressed. I'm not anxious. But I was. And we'll fast forward a little bit here, but we're going to come back in a second. But I went and I saw someone about it. And sure enough, depression, anxiety, not major, but it was still there. It still affected me. But talking to this guy really helped. And I was able to get that stuff under control. And ever since, I've been an advocate for it. It was a school counselor, and I got nothing bad to say. It was an awesome experience. So I always try to tell people, and if you're listening to this and you're in school, and you think that your school doesn't have anything to offer you in terms of either mental health or even student accessibility in terms of if you have a disease, I'm going to go, chances are you're wrong, and they do have it, you just don't know about it. I went 2 years without figuring out that my school had things in place for students who were really sick or who had mental health issues or just something as simple as an anxiety problem when you write tests, stuff like that. Like, the school has things in place, so check it out. Let's go back a little bit, start of my third year. So remember, at this time I'm feeling a little depressed, I'm feeling a little anxious, and I'm really thinking about dropping out at this point. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I can't drop out of two programs. I need some sort of hope. I need something to show me that it can be okay. So I fired up my computer. I decided if I can find a celebrity or an athlete that has the same disease as I have and they're successful, that's good enough for me. Had it already planned out. And I type into Google, athletes with ulcerative colitis. Now, at the time, I was starting to get into soccer, starting to appreciate the sport and watching it more. And it just so happens that the first athlete that pops up on that Google search was a midfielder, Darren Fletcher, who played for Manchester United at the time. And he had ulcerative colitis. Furthermore, he was talking about having ulcerative colitis in an interview. I read this interview, and one thing really stuck out to me. And he says at one point, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, "The only time I really feel normal is when I'm playing soccer." And he had expressed in the article that he couldn't take his kids to school or go out for a meal with his friends. And it was just, it was bad for him too. Now, he ended up needing surgery for his ulcerative colitis. I don't need surgery yet, knock on wood. But nonetheless, I said that sentence still stuck out, that he felt normal. I started looking at what sports were available to me. Specifically, I was hoping for soccer, and sure enough, I found it. I went on the school site, the athletic site, I should say, and plugged in intramural soccer, and there it was. I signed up instantly and started looking forward to it. And I gotta say, he was right. I played, I think it was 11 games by the end of the season, and during that game, I forgot I even had the disease. I was another player out there. I was enjoying life. And even after the game, I found that my symptoms were extremely decreased. It was awesome. But give it a couple days and the symptoms came back. So after that season had ended, I decided that I wasn't so much of a striker, which is what I had initially played in that first season. And I remembered back to a time when I used to be a goalkeeper. Now we're going back years to elementary school. I figured I'd give it another try. So I asked for goalkeeper gloves for Christmas, and I was lucky enough to get them. So I went to the closest drop-in center for soccer, and I played. And I figured out, well, I was told I was a relatively decent goalkeeper. So I kept going back, and eventually a teammate of mine saw me and asked if I would play on his team for the upcoming school intramurals. So I couldn't say no. So I played, and same thing. I felt great during the games. I was playing good. We were winning games. And days after the game, I was still feeling great, and I couldn't ignore it. And then I got the idea, if I was really sick and I could get myself out to play these games, I wonder if other people know that they can do it too, and at least feel that sense of being a normal person. And I thought even beyond that, and I thought, what if I could accomplish something that I deem successful, that most people deem impossible? Would that inspire others with disease to follow their dreams? And so I created the site Athletics for Life. And what Athletics for Life is about is it was initially chronicling my journey to an MLS team open tryout. And now I didn't care if I made the team, if I didn't make the team. The important thing was I was there. I had a disease. I thought this disease could hold me down. And then I'm proving that it can't by going to this tryout. So that being said, once I got that in my mind, I made the site. I started writing blog entries. I had my game stats on there. I also signed up for outdoor soccer. And I played for this team, great bunch of guys. I'm actually playing with them this summer, so you'll probably hear more about that. You might even see some highlights. I don't know. That's the hope. But I played for this team in the summer, and it went well. We lost games, though, but it went well. I had a lot of fun, and my dream continued. But once I got into fourth year, I started a research practicum. I started diving into some data and the power of research and the power of science. And I started to realize that Athletics for Life is a great avenue to get a message out there. And so it started becoming more about the importance of including sport and physical activity into a life that's affected by disease. I realized that, yeah, I was sick and I was feeling really bad, but then I added sport and now I'm feeling a lot better. There's got to be a reason for that. So I've done research since then, and you know, there's a lot of research that says that physical activity and sport can help many chronic diseases. And so now I've really dove into that avenue with Athletics for Life. I still like telling my stories. I still like trying to inspire others to get out and do what they want to do. That's still my main message. But also in there is don't just sit around. Be active. Fight back. Playing sports, team sports, individual sports, lifting weights, going for a run. Get out there. Move. Your body will appreciate it. Your mind will appreciate it. So that kind of leads me into what you can expect from this podcast, what you can expect from Athletics for Life, and some cool things I have coming up. And so let's tackle Athletics for Life, the website. So right now I'm still continually writing blogs for that. I don't plan on stopping. The frequency is going to get a little less as I do these podcasts. And I also have a science series coming out that goes more in depth to the science behind what I'm trying to bring forward. But yeah, so you can look forward to these podcasts on the site, my blog entries, the science series. Once the season starts for outdoor soccer, I'm also going to have some game stats that go up there just for anyone that's interested. I don't know if anyone is, but I find it cool, so who cares? But furthermore, what can you expect from this podcast? Basically, it's a continuation of the blog. It's just my way to reach out my way to talk to you guys. I know that people don't always have time to read my blogs. Some people just don't want to. They don't like reading. This is an alternate form of that. I can just talk. You can clean. You can go about your day. I usually listen to podcasts while I drive, so that's another good one. But it's a way that I can still get my message out to people without forcing them to read if they don't want to. I'll probably talk about, you know, similar themes to the site. Motivational, inspirational stuff that has affected me. I really want to dive into the science behind everything. I think that's really cool. And eventually, hopefully, I'll get some guests on here and do a couple interviews. I'm looking into possible guests right now. That being said, if you're interested and you think you have something that fits the theme, don't be afraid to reach out and contact me, and we can go from there. Another thing that I am involved in is something called Gaming Against Disease. It's attached to the Athletics for Life website. All the links will be in the description, so don't worry if you think, hey, you didn't say the site name or anything. I'll have all that stuff in text, so it's an easy click. But Gaming Against Disease is basically just a real-time interactive space for us. So I'll be playing my video games like FIFA or Gears of War, and then you guys can ask questions, hop on the game, play with me. I'll answer the questions, or, you know, just sit back and chat while we play some good old-fashioned video games. I don't know, just something different to reach out to whoever is listening. And that's about it for now. I'm probably going to have some cool stuff coming up in the future. I'm not going to make any promises just in case they don't follow through. But that's it for the first episode of the Athletics for Life podcast. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully I'll have many to come after this. See ya.